Welcome to the Daily Platform. Our program features sermons from chapel services at Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Every day, students are blessed by the preaching and teaching of the Bible from the University Chapel platform. Today, we're featuring a sermon preached from the Bob Jones University 2023 Bible Conference, where the theme was the steadfast love of God. Brian Peterson, lead pastor at Lebanon Baptist Church in Roswell, Georgia, will be concluding a message from yesterday from John 21. The disciples were in a boat from a night of fishing, and Jesus calls out to them from the shore.
So what's happening here? When they get to land, and Jesus has a breakfast ready for them. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. So he already had made something here. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. And did you notice what he does? He provides two things, bread and what? Fish. Bread and fish. Now, how did he do it? He wasn't cooking the fish that had just come off. He'll refer to them in just a second. We don't know exactly how Jesus did the bread and did the fish, but it is a pretty picture of this, that Jesus Christ, not only has he has all power, but he's also the ultimate provider. In fact, you know what he can do? He can furnish a lunch in the middle of the wilderness. Because if you remember back, just around the Sea of Galilee shore, many months before, what had he done? He had taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he had multiplied it to feed over 5,000 men, which we know if it was just 5,000 men, no doubt it was tons more, and he had an abundant amount left. In fact, have you ever caught how when he had, of course, he's testing his disciples when he's doing the bread and the loaves. He says, you give them something to eat. And they said, we can't do this. And he says, okay, this boy's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so he's testing his disciples. And then he multiplies them. And then they bring back 12 baskets, one for each doubting disciple. He is one who can provide anything. In fact, after he had done that, many months before, the crowd that he had multiplied the loaves with asked him, they said, hey, can you keep doing this? And what does he tell them to do? He tells them, I am the bread of life. You need to eat of me and drink of me. Let me tell all of you in this room, Jesus Christ can take care of all of your needs. He has all power. He has all provision. In fact, in the Gospel of John, it's interesting. You know what he does? There's one little section of John where I call it the wilderness motif, where basically when Israel was trapped in the wilderness or wandering in the wilderness, what did they need? They needed light, they needed bread, and they needed water. And what does Jesus do in the Gospel of John? What does the Apostle John just continue to declare? How Jesus is the one who is the living water to the woman at the well. And how he says, I am the bread. And how he says, I am the light of the world. And basically he's telling them, you know the God of the Old Testament who supplied all of those things in the wilderness? I am He. I am Jehovah Jireh. I and the Father are what? We're one. He is the ultimate provider. Some of you in here, you may think, you know what, if I really start following Christ and doing what He wants me to do, how am I going to take care of myself? If I surrender to this or this, what about all the needs of my life? It's interesting. Jesus said not far from this very place when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, he says this, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or yet for your body what ye shall put on? Is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? He says, hey, consider the birds of the air. I feed all them. In the flowers, I clothe all them. And you remember how he ends this section? But seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. When it comes to following Jesus, you must not worry about your provisions. God will provide in ways he sees fit. I mean, it's tax season. Okay, you remember one time when one guy had to pay tax? You remember what he told him to do? Go catch a fish, and there'll be a coin in its mouth. I'll take care of you. Some of you may be here today and say, how am I going to pay my taxes? Let me say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will take care of you. He has all power. He has all provision. Have you begun to doubt him? Peter, here he is, going back to fishing, and God manifests his power. He manifests his provision. And now Jesus reminds him as well of this. He reminds him of his patience with him. Following the meal, Jesus begins a conversation with Peter. You remember it? Verse 15, it says this. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, one aspect I want you to catch. Some of you may have not caught this before. It's really interesting. But John, a few verses earlier in verse 9, points out that the fire that Jesus made was a fire of coals. Now, let me just suggest something. Don't read into it too much. But do you know the last time there was a charcoal fire mentioned by John? Was the charcoal fire that Peter was warming himself at when he denied Jesus Christ three times. And John, as he's writing this gospel, says, and there was a charcoal fire that Jesus had made. Of course, we know that Jesus had spoken to Peter since then, possibly had restored him at that particular point. But some see the dialogue that is to follow as Peter's public restoration. Jesus displays, what he does here is he displays his chesed in seeking to affirm Peter by asking him some questions. He asks him, do you love me more than these? Now there's a question here, like, what are the these? Is he saying, do you love me more than you love all these other disciples? Do you love me more than you love them? Or is he meaning, do you love me more than these disciples love me? Because if you remember, did Peter say that before? He basically said, hey, if everybody else leaves you, I'm not going to leave you. So is he talking about that? Or do you love me more than these fish? Because if you remember, when they brought the fish to land, you remember what Jesus told them to do? He says, bring some fish up here. And possibly, he could have said, do you love me more than your profession, than this fishing? I personally lean toward either the fish or more than these other disciples love me. But honestly, what's really the point here? What do I want you to catch? Asking Peter if he loves him three times is establishing a point for Peter. Peter had denied Jesus how many times? Three times. Jesus now has Peter affirm with his mouth his love for him on three different occasions. It's almost like this. Hey, Peter, let's get this down. I'm doing this to help you. Let's say, do you love me? And Peter says, and he repeats it. Now, some have focused on the different Greek words that underline some of those words love, the words agape and phileo, saying that Peter couldn't affirm the stronger love. I don't think that's the point. because in the context, Jesus uses different Greek words for love, sheep, knowing, feeding, tending. Jesus knew Peter had failed and that others knew that he failed. But what Jesus is doing is he's reaffirming Peter and he's reiterating his calling on him. He's lifting him up again. He's like, Peter, keep going. Say it. Yes, you do love me. Let me remind you, in your service for Jesus Christ, there are going to be times and many times that you are going to fail miserably in your spiritual life. You are going to deny Jesus in various ways, and you are going to fall face first into sin. And God is going to convict you about it. But let me tell you what he's also going to do. If he is your Lord, the Bible says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He will come after you. And he will go after you. And he will seek to restore you. Because that's what he does with his children. Because the Bible says, if you are not children, as all of my children are, he says, then are you bastards and not sons. You're not true sons if you don't endure chastisement. If you're sitting here today and you can just sin and do whatever you want and not feel any conviction, you ought not to brag about that. That very well means that you're not a child of God, because God does this to his children. He comes to them and he reaffirms them and he shows them his patience with them. I know for me, I've fallen like Peter so many times. I've said that little phrase many times. I've done it again, Lord. I'll tell you, the older you get in your spiritual life, the more broken you'll see that you are. You know, the Apostle Paul, early in his ministry, he looked at himself as what? He says, I'm the least of the apostles. A little bit later, he writes, I'm the least of all the saints. I mean, when you think of all the believers, you know what? I'm kind of at the bottom. You know one of the last things he writes? He says, I'm the chief of what? Sinners. And the more you get to know Christ, the more you see your own brokenness, but the more you see his own chesed, he comes to you. And there are numbers of you in this room. You know his patience. He knows your frame. Maybe even this week, some of you deserted Jesus. You know what he wants to do? He's coming to you, and he wants you to reaffirm your love toward him. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times and rises up what? Again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Jesus is coming to restore you tonight. You need to affirm like Peter did. Some of you tonight need to go to God and say this, God, like Peter says, you know all things about me. You know it all. And you know I love you. And you know I did wrong. But I'm coming back to you. Catch this. Here is Hesed looking at Peter, showing him, I have all power. I have all provision. I have all patience. I'm bringing you back. But then he does one final thing. Jesus then reminds Peter of his plan. In the conversation, Jesus first reminds Peter 3 times of his plan for him. Notice at the end of verse 15, he says this. He says, feed my lambs. He says at the end of verse 16, feed my sheep. He says at the end of 17, feed my sheep. What Jesus is doing is he's telling Peter, rather, Peter, than giving your life to fishing, I want you to give your life to my sheep, my people. I want you to serve me. And we know that the Apostle Paul had a unique role. He was the one who would open the gospel to the Jews at Pentecost. And then he would also be the one who opened the gospel to the Gentiles with Cornelius. And I'll tell you this, I do believe that God has a special call for the ministry on many people. I sensed the call to ministry while I was at Bob Jones. I was in high school, went on a New York City mission trip, and I saw the need of our world. And for the first time in my life, I just said, God, I gotta give my life to the gospel. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity has laid a hold of me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I surrendered to the Lord. And you know what God does for some people? He begins to work in your heart internally in giving you a desire for the work. And that's what he did for me. There was that internal desire. The Bible says, if any man desire the office of a bishop or an elder, he desireth a good work. And then what will happen over the years as you begin to train, it'll ultimately be affirmed by a church, a local church, who affirm your gifts. But no doubt, God may be calling some of you in this room to ministry. But whoever you are, whether it's ministry or not, all of us have been called with a general call, you could say, to make disciples. Because not far from here, as I referred to in Matthew chapter 28, when he gave the Great Commission, it was not just the disciples. There were many other, not just the 12 disciples, there were many other disciples there. And he tells them all of you, go make disciples. And if you're a believer, if you are a follower of Christ, your calling in life, you have been given a license to disciple. And you are to be going to do that with your life. It's expressed as well in that command when he tells Peter, Peter, you follow me. God's plan is for you to follow Jesus. Do your part in God's work. Have you got off track? Are you not doing what he's called you to do? And I'll tell you, whatever it is, it's going to involve God's sheep. It'll mean that you need to get engaged with God's people. You're to do good, especially to those who are of the household of what? Faith. Part of your life needs to be engaged in the local church. And it ought not to just start here. It ought to be the rest of your life. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to be serving and engaged in the local church with God's people. That's what God's people do. And that's what he's telling Peter. You be involved with my sheep. Serve them. At this point, Jesus tells Peter about his future. Verse 18. He says this, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou art old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall girth thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Here you're like, okay, what is that all talking about? And then he clears it up in verse 19. It says, this spake he, signifying by what death Peter should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Now, did you catch that? It is here that the great physician takes his patient and he basically tells him, guess what? You're going to die. I'm giving you your death sentence. And guess what? You're going to die a very cruel death. The stretching forth of his hands spoke of Peter's future crucifixion. Jesus then tells Peter, it's going to be hard, but guess what? You follow me. Peter never forgot about that. He was conscious of that. Even when he wrote 2 Peter in 2 Peter 1:14, he says this. He's writing to the scattered tribes, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. He referred back to it. Peter then turns and he says, okay, I'm going to die on a cross, or I'm going to have to stretch forth my hands. What about John? What about the Apostle John? He says in verse 20, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, and also leaning on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him, saith Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?" And Jesus responds. Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me." He's basically telling Peter, "Peter, that's not your concern. You can be concerned about all these other people. Your job, your life ought to be this. As I fix my eyes on you, you need to fix your eyes on me, and you need to follow me with your life." And here, just to wrap up things, John clarifies some truths before ending the book. Evidently, a story had been passed about that what Jesus said here meant that he wasn't going to experience death. And John has to clarify and says, no, that's not what was happening here. But then Jesus once again focuses Peter, "Peter, your job in your life is to follow me." He kept saying it, "Follow me, follow me, follow me." Bob Jones University students, faculty, and all of our friends here tonight, you don't know all the twists and turns that this life is going to bring you. Peter's calling was to glorify God in his life and in his death. But we can often get so focused, "Oh, what about this person? What about this person? Or what about what's going to happen there?" And God says, "Don't worry about them. You give all your attention to follow me. That's what you need to give your life to." And then one last aspect of God's plan that he shares in this final little section, he says this, "Do this until I" what? "Come." Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going to show back up on the scene at the sound of the trumpet. His plan is for me and you to be constantly about his work. We must embrace that mission that God has called us to do and follow him. So in our text, what have we seen? Jesus lovingly directs his disciples back on mission. What a God we have. This is Hesed looking at you in the face. It's Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you have gotten off target in your spiritual life. You've gone back to your comfort zone. You're fishing, whatever it is. Or you're sulking in your failures. "Man, look what I did. I can't serve Jesus Christ." Jesus is reminding you, "Hey, I have all power. I have all provision. I'm patient with you. Just come back. Reaffirm your love toward me. And remember my plan for you." And your plan is this. It's to follow me and make disciples and give your life to this. Some of you in this room, you need to believe in Jesus Christ. There is nothing greater. If you're still investigating Christ, let me commend to you the Gospel of John. Just read it over and over and pray this prayer. "God, if you are real, if Jesus is the Christ, show me as I read this." And I'm telling you, he will unveil himself to you. He is the ultimate one. He is where all the fullness is. Some of you need to get back on mission. Some of you, you were on fire first semester. Some of you are living for him and you got off track. You know what you need to do? You need to see his power. You need to see his plan. You need to see his provision. You need to see his patience. And you need to submit your life to him. Now, did it all get solved here with Peter? Did he ever fall again? Guess what? Read Galatians. He fell again. And guess what? So will you. But the good thing is this. Jesus will keep showing up at your door. And he will keep reminding you of his power and his provision and his plan and his patience. That's what he does for his children. He comes after them. And his children must do what? They must respond to him and get back up and get following him. And I'll tell you this, God used Peter in an enormous way. And one day I'll get to meet him. But more importantly, one day I'll get to meet the Lord. And if you know him, you will too. Get back on mission. See his hesed love in this beautiful text. See his love for you. And know the love of Christ constrains us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Let's pray. Father, would you, in your special way, as you did that fateful day by the Sea of Galilee, would you come to the disciples of yours in this room? And even now, would you remind them of who you are? And Father, may tonight be a night that they reaffirm their love for you. And Father, help this group of young people who know you. Help them to go out into this world and help us to, as it was said about these disciples, help them to turn the world upside down. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the conclusion of a sermon by Pastor Brian Peterson from Bob Jones University's 2023 Bible Conference. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we'll hear more soul-stirring sermons on the Daily Platform.